We go, just walk across the room. Just as I do the introduction, Chris is going to send round some baskets that have got some note sheets in. Some of you might like to take notes as we talk, and there'll be a different one for each week. There are pens if you need them, space to make notes, space to write things down, or just to take it home as a reminder if you want to. But this is a series that we're doing leading on from Holy Spirit Summer, which we did, where we were learning about the amazing person of Holy Spirit and how we can know him and walk with him more. And now we're going to be leading on from our Holy Ghost movie that we showed to learn how can we partner with him in bringing hope to people all around us. We're going to be following a four-week Sunday morning teaching series based on this book by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room, which is also going to be studied in more depth by our small groups during the week. And we'll get on to that in a moment. Our Sunday meetings are going to open the subject up, and then it's going to be looked at in more depth in our small group meetings. So this Sunday, our first Sunday, is called the single greatest gift. And that's the key phrase for us to get in our head for this morning. The single greatest gift. I wonder what the single greatest gift is that you might have received. It could be our spouse, it could be our children, it could be help from somebody when we were in a really difficult time. It could have been a car or a job, something we really needed. But this series, Just Walk Across the Room, is based on the premise that the single greatest gift that all of us have received is an introduction to the God who loves us and who has a purpose for our lives. Every one of us has been given that single greatest gift, and we also can give that gift to someone else. The single greatest gift we can all give to people around us is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their life. And it is an incredible gift. I've found as I've prepared this series, it is so easy, isn't it, for that gift to become just ordinary to us because we live in it all the time. And I loved what Angela did with the worship this morning, encouraging us, stirring us up to think again about what Jesus has done for us. We live in the most amazing grace, totally forgiven, utterly loved, with hope, with a future, with a God who walks with us through every detail of our lives, who will never, ever let us go. And I spent time a couple of weeks ago with a lady who's been given 3 months to live. And as I sat with her, I realized afresh the amazing aspect of our gift from God, that we have an eternal future secure with him, that when this earth suit that we live in gives up, that's just the beginning of life with him. It is an incredible thing that we live in. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if that's become a little stale for you, encourage yourself. Do whatever you need to do to stir that within you, that passion for God. You might need to spend some time with people who are passionate. You might need to read a book. You might need to go on a course. You might need to go to a conference. But we have kind of a responsibility to keep within us, stirred up within us, that amazing gift that we've been given. Because when we're aware of it, then we can give it to others. If it's stale for us, we don't feel much like sharing it. But it is an incredible gift. Our Maidenhead vision is this: to give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus. That's what this is all about. Giving people the single greatest gift that we can. An introduction to the God who loves them and has a purpose for their lives. How do we give that gift? Well, it's sounding horribly like evangelism, isn't it? Just hearing that word has sent tremors up and down some of your spines. Some of you have now made plans not to be at church for the next 3 weeks. And I suspect all of us are probably feeling an uncomfortable sense of guilt, because that's what that word does, isn't it? But in actual fact, you know, Evangelism is just constantly watching for ways to give that gift to someone far from God. And I'll just say, Dave, you can just start to get that clip ready for me. What I want to reassure you is that I hope these next 4 weeks are going to be different, that this is just going to open up for us a new way of thinking about this subject, that actually it's an opportunity for us to have our hearts and our minds opened to the amazing stuff that God can do through us and in us. And what I really want to do is just pause a moment and just pray that actually this 4 weeks will be an amazing time for us as a church. So let's just pause. Yeah, Father God, we just want to come before you now and just freely admit that that word evangelism is terrifying to us. And yet all it is, Lord God, is wanting to share your love and your goodness with people. So Lord, I just want to ask that you take our past frameworks, our past perspectives, our past prejudices, and you just rewrite in us what you're saying to us for the moment. Be different for each one of us. But Lord, we really want to be open to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to discover together is that evangelism can be just as simple as taking a walk across a room. And there's just a really short video clip from Bill Hybels, the author of the book, to introduce it. So that's Bill Hybels, who's written the book. He's really inspiring. The material is fantastic. Did you get his closing statement there? If we could all just do the small thing that we can do, we'd probably touch a lot more lives. And at the end of the day, this is what the whole evangelism thing amounts to. Just watching for ways to give that greatest gift to somebody far from God. And it just starts with a walk across the room, which is the title of our series. I'm just going to tell you a story by way of illustration. My son just went to university yesterday. I am not going to cry about that. It reminded me when I went to university, and I lived in the northeast, and I moved down to central London, down to southeast London. My parents deposited me and ran. I was very young, very naive, green as grass, never been away from home, frankly terrified. I was a very shy person, didn't have many friends at school. It was hideous. I went into my first day, I walked into the Faculty of Law, I had to make my way into central London, all these people in groups, all talking to one another. And I just stood there and I thought, oh, I just can't do this, this is awful. And I sat there, and then one girl got up from the group that she was in, and she came over to me and she said, hello, my name's Andrea, what's your name? And there began a friendship on that first day with Andrea that developed. She lived her life out just before me as a friend, was open about her relationship with God. She was a Christian. By Christmas, I was so amazed by what she had with God. I wanted it. I gave my life to the Lord by Christmas. By Easter, Jonathan had given his life to the Lord. My sister had given her life to the Lord by the summer. And so the story goes on. And 28, 30 years later, here I am standing in front of you, doing this, all the things that have gone on in the last years. And it all started with Andrea taking that walk across the room to me. Where would I be today if she hadn't done that? It's interesting to ponder that, isn't it? It can be a literal walk across the room when we're talking about walk across the room, just like hers was a literal 10 steps to me. It can be reaching out a hand of hope to somebody. It can be just having that snippet of conversation with somebody. We're not necessarily talking about literal 10 steps, but it's a good way of thinking about it. And what we're going to look at is, we're just going to explore that in the next few weeks. We're going to start today with how do we actually start to take those 10 steps across the room to somebody. And the first thing I think to realise is that we all have circles of comfort. So we all have a place where we're comfortable. And what we have to be is willing to extricate ourselves from that circle of comfort and stretch out a hand to somebody or walk across a room to somebody. We actually have to make a decision to leave our circle of comfort. Now, with no expense spared and with great creative design, I've created a circle of comfort. Ladies and gentlemen, be amazed. It's nice and furry. I thought, that's good. Circles of comfort are nice, aren't they? We like them. We like being in them. They're cosy. Simon is going to come and be my volunteer in his circle of comfort. He's not going to do a hula hoop. This is not frivolous. Simon, do stand. Just put it over you and just hold it. Thank you very much. Simon is in his circle of comfort. And it's very easy to stay there, isn't it? With our saved friends, with the people we know, the circles we know. It's much easier to be there than to venture out of it. And actually, if we don't ever leave this circle of comfort, we deny ourselves the opportunity to adventure with God, to adventure with the Holy Spirit and see what he'll do through us. We deny ourselves the opportunity to be like Jesus. We're going to come on to that in a minute. So there's Simon in his circle of comfort. And can I have the slides back up again, please? The first step, I'll just keep going through them, because if we're ready to give somebody the single greatest gift, is to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the first point on your note sheet. Be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. And here we have, at no expense spared again, the zone of the unknown. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going to happen in the zone of the unknown? It's the zone of the unknown where Andrea said to me, "Hello, I'm Andrea. What's your name?" So Simon, you're going to put down your circle of comfort. Thank you very much. Just drop it on the floor. Yes, was it fine? And come, do come over here and enter the zone of the unknown. Look at this. It gets better, Simon. In the zone of the unknown, we can have all sorts of questions. Look at this. Look at what I've made for you. Cool, your ears are in the way. All sorts of questions. Oh my goodness me, what is going to happen if I leave my circle of comfort and I go over there and talk to that person? What if I don't know what to say? What if they're scary? What if they ask me questions I can't answer? All of those things prevent us from leaving our circles of comfort. It is really scary, and let's just be honest about that, okay? Once a month on a Saturday, a group of us go down to the street, and do you want to put that down? I'm going to sit down there. You can do, yeah. You can take your necklace off as well. Yeah, unless you like it, in which case you can keep it. Thank you very much, Simon. Once a month, the Healing on the Streets team has morphed into the Prayer on the Streets team, and a group of us go down and just chat to people. Just take a walk across the room to talk to people. Myself, Colin and Rachel Smith went out last weekend, fairly seasoned goer-outers on the street, and we all stood there and went, "Oh, we don't want to do this," didn't we? Oh my goodness me, I'd have been hoping it was going to be cancelled. just be really honest. Sorry, Steve, who leads the team. I was like, oh, I hope it's going to be cancelled. Because it's scary. It's really scary to do it. What are they going to say? You know, what's going to happen? Now, we'll just walk across the room isn't necessary. I'm not going to make you walk out on the street, believe me. But that's an example. Even people who've been doing it for ages, it is scary. There is genuine fear to face. But the thing I found to be true is that when our relationship with God is alive, when there's an openness in our spirits to hear what Holy Spirit is saying, we can make that decision each and every time, and he meets us, and he meets the people who we talk to. And that's it. That's point two on our sheets. We have to listen for the Spirit's promptings. We can't do this alone. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about Holy Spirit over the summer. Now, you know, when you talk about evangelism and Holy Spirit, my mind goes to these evangelist types who, you know, are going somewhere on an aeroplane. They've led the taxi driver to the Lord. They lead the air hostess to the Lord. The whole plane gets all saved. There's a church meeting going on by the time they land. And that's just an ordinary day. But, you know, that's not what we're like, is it? We're just ordinary people. And listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit is just something we learn to do. We just follow that nudge. Often, I heard this really great thing. It sounds like us. A thought comes into our head and we think, oh, well, that was just me. Well, do you know what? The promptings of the Holy Spirit are sometimes going to sound like that because we're made in God's image and he lives in us. So it's going to sound like us, isn't it? I don't have dramatic promptings of the Holy Spirit. I've just learnt over the years what is him going, Kerry. I have a very, very close friend who doesn't know the Lord yet. She's one of my closest friends, and she struggles with a lot of difficulties in her life. And every so often, her name will just drop into my head, and I've learnt ringer. And I just do it every time now. And every time, do you know what she says? How did you know to ring me now? How did you know? And I'm really not joking. That has happened. How did you know I needed to talk to you? How did you know I needed to see you? And now she says, bet it was that God thing again, wasn't it? But that is as simple as just a name coming into my head. And it's just trial and error and just going with it. You know, the key to being a walk across the room sort of person is just doing those little things when we think we need to. And honestly, for me, if I get a thought, if I then start to argue myself out of it, I then know it's the Holy Spirit. So I'll have a thought and I'll think, oh, no, that's a really stupid idea. Well, I can't do that because of such and such. At that point, I think, you know what? That was Holy Spirit because I'm arguing it away. So that's a real key for us. And it's so easy to make excuses like, I haven't got the right training, I'm not confident enough, I haven't got a quick mind, you know, I haven't got the right gifting, I'm not good with people. But actually, what we're going to discover in the next few weeks is that this isn't about getting us all to march to some new orders. This is about us all learning the heartbeat of God for people around us and enjoying the thrill of cooperating with the Holy Spirit to meet people and to offer to them the single greatest gift. It's something we can all do, something we can all decide to do, because that's where it starts. And it's something we can learn to do, and that's some of what we're going to be talking about. But it's all very well for me to say that, but why? Why should you do it? Why? Why should you do it? It could be because of obedience, because Jesus said, go and make disciples. And he did also say, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But the Christian life isn't about following rules because we have to. It's about responding out of love. And I think that there's a higher reason for us to take this challenge to walk across the room. I've been very impacted by this scripture as I've prepared this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. What we're doing is we're just responding to God's love for us. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but Jesus took the ultimate walk across the room for us. Some verses here in Philippians, which talk about us having the same attitude of mind as Jesus, who was in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And those verses tell us that at a specific point in time and in history, Jesus extracted himself from the ultimate circle of comfort with his Father, with Holy Spirit, with the worship and adoration of angels. And he walked not just across a room, but across the entire cosmos to stretch out a hand to people like you and me, who desperately need the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the hope that he offers. And because of that one walk across a room that Jesus took, all of humanity has been given the single greatest gift. And I just think that's incredible. I think it's an incredible way of thinking about it. And our hearts can respond to that rather than being told, this is what we have to do. We don't have to get tied up in methods of evangelism. We just take the hand of the Holy Spirit and we just walk. And that is our final third point on your sheet. Just walk. Because Jesus walked for you and for me and for every single person we rub shoulders with on this planet. What I want to do is show you Jesus just walking on the earth, because he took a walk across a room to a woman who desperately needed him. And if you were to read in your Bibles in John 4, the book of John, there's a story there about Jesus meeting a woman at a well. And Jesus and his disciples had been traveling all day long. They came to a well. It was boiling hot. They were hungry and they were really thirsty. They see a woman standing by a well. We later know that that woman has had 5 husbands, 5 divorces, and the man she's married with now is not her husband. And I can imagine the disciples sort of standing there and eyeing her up and down and thinking, okay, I'll just avoid her. Have I done that before? Ouch, probably. Let's stick together and go into town and get some lunch. Now, they probably said, come on, Jesus, we're just going into town, get some lunch. But instead of staying with them in his circle of comfort, Jesus chose to step out of it and go and talk to the woman. Now, Jesus wasn't just walking across a typical room. He was actually walking across gender, racial, cultural, and religious restrictions, because that woman was unclean. She was a half-breed. No Jew would associate with her. She was a Samaritan. And people wouldn't even have gone through that part of town because they would have become unclean. But if you've read the story, you know that Jesus did it anyway. He stepped out of the circle of comfort with his friends, and he walked across to the zone of the unknown. He began a conversation with a woman who he wasn't supposed to be near. And if you've read the story, you'll know that they go on to talk about living water. They start by talking about what's in front of them, the well and water. And Jesus just lets the conversation evolve. And sooner or later, they're talking about living water from Jesus. And the woman says, give me this water so that I won't ever get thirsty again. What the text tells us is that she leaves her bucket. She runs into town. She drags half of her friends and her neighbors back, telling them, you've got to meet this man who knew all about my past, but still accepted me and still loved me and offered me something called grace. And it tells us the story that many people came to faith in Jesus that day. All because Jesus took a walk across a room from his circle of comfort to the zone of the unknown. And I just like to think sort of 20 years later, when all the children and grandchildren of those people are all sitting around together telling stories about where did their journey of faith begin? How did this all begin? How do we all get to know Jesus? You can trace all of their salvations back to that one moment where Jesus said to his disciples, it's great, you just enjoy being together. I'm just going to leave that circle and go over here and stretch out a hand of fellowship to somebody who needs it. I think that this walk across the room behavior is exactly what Jesus wants all of his followers to do, just like he did. And he's given us Holy Spirit to help us. So we just listen for his guidance. And we just make choices to leave these circles of comfort and step out into the unknown and just see what Father God might do through us. What I'd like to do as we close is just read you an extract from the book, from Just Walk Across the Room. Jesus knew that his mission would be excruciatingly difficult, risky, downright defeating, and seemingly fruitless for us at times. But if you will just persevere, he might say, the potential is colossal. Think of it. One more treasure, a priceless human being, might be snatched from the clutches of a horrendous, lifeless eternity because of your work. So go. Go right now and bear witness. Sow the seed. Take the walk across the room. Leave what's comfortable for that which is eternally significant. Risk your life for this and know that you will never regret the decision. The single greatest gift you and I can give to another human being is an introduction to the God who declared that his mission was to find every lost person and bring them home. So in the next 3 weeks, we are going to talk about what it means to walk across the room. On Sundays, we're going to open the subject up. And then in our small groups, we're going to go much deeper with the material. And we've got DVD materials that the small group leaders are going to be working with. And we've got workbooks for everybody taking part. And we're going to learn things like how to take that first step, how to pray, what to pray, what to pray between that circle and that circle, how to talk normally with people who just need a normal Christian to talk normally about normal things with them. What I want to do is to encourage you not to miss this opportunity to link up with other people who'll be exploring this content over the next 4 weeks. There is a Just Walk Across the Room small group sign-up sheet here. And if you'd like to join with a group, they meet on all different nights of the week, just for this next 4 weeks to go deeper with this, then put your name down there and Susan, who's been leading the meeting, will make sure that you're in a group that fits for you and you can work through that material together. Susan will be there at the end to chat with you, and there are workbooks there if you need to get one that you haven't got. They are £5, free to good homes if you don't have £5 on you. We just really want people to be able to access the material and really get a lot out of it and see what God will do in us as a body of people. You know, we can't have a vision to give everybody in Maidenhead a tangible, relevant, life-changing encounter with Jesus and sit here. It's just not going to happen. And I just see all over the area, actually, churches in all their different ways are going, you know what, we need to get out there a bit more. St. Mary's down in Maidenhead are going to be hosting an outreach conference next year. And that's just come through that news. So God's moving, the Spirit is moving all across our nation. So we'll just recap. If we're ready to give someone... Oh, I just vanished. That was clever. Is it coming back? It will do. Dave's my Mac man. There we go. If we are ready to give someone the single greatest gift today, we need to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown, listen for the Spirit's promptings, and just walk. What I'd like to do is just pray, if I can, and then I've got a bit of homework for you, and I've got a gift for you. God, what can get better? So let's just pray. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for Jesus leaving his circle of comfort, trudging across the cosmos, taking on human likeness, human flesh, and living among us. I want to thank you, Jesus, that when you did that, when you walked across that room, you reached out your hand to every single one of us because you love us, and you did it to bring us home. And if you hadn't made that walk, Jesus, I don't know what my life would be like now. I truly don't know where I'd be. But I know because you did make that walk, it's my turn to take walks across rooms. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll take these next 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, and you'll really bless them. That, Lord, you'll really speak to us individually. That you'll take our hearts, that you'll open them up in love and compassion and courage and vision and passion. That you'll take every pair of shaky legs and help point them towards people outside our circles of comfort who need you. And I just pray that every single person here will be open to becoming a walk across the room kind of person. To your honour and your glory, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to send you away with homework. Sorry. What I'd really like you to do is spend a little time this week thinking about that concept that Jesus walked across the room for you. And really let that settle in, the wonder of what Jesus has done for you and me and everybody who's far from him. And do what you can do to reignite that passion within you think about what might help you. Come talk to us if there's things we can do. But really allow Holy Spirit to stir up again that passion within you. The second thing I'd like you to do is to think about who might have walked across the room for you. Andrea walked across the room for me, and that's why I'm here today. Who walked across the room for you? If you're still in contact with that person, why don't you ring them up and say thank you? Send them an email. Acknowledge what they did for you. If you're not in contact, pray for them. Stop, take a moment, pray for them. Thank God for the fact they walked across a room for you to give you the single greatest gift. As you leave today, I'd like you to take one of these if you'd like to. I'll put them over by the piano. They are little boxes to remind you about the single greatest gift that you've been given and that you can give to somebody else. An introduction to the God who loves you, who loves them, and wants them to know their Father. So take one of these on the way out. I was going to say stick it on your fridge, but good luck with that. And keep it as a reminder of what our topic was, the single greatest gift. Thank you.